it's never too late to decide that you want to take those steps that, you know, that you talk about, Dr. Stam.
You're right. So then the question to the audience and all those that are listening is, what area in your life are you playing it safe? What would happen if you were not afraid? Why are you not living the life that you dream of? And what is holding you back? You know, I mean, what habits, what pain, what fears are hurting you or blocking you from living a confident, fearless life?
You know, what is it that we need to do to stay emotionally well during these challenging times? All of us, I think, have been pretty rocked with the events of the day. There's been protests all around the country. Family members are in discord because they have different political ideologies. People at work are feeling uncomfortable because they don't want you to know that they supported who they supported, or you don't want them to know. And, you know, we have all of this that going on, in addition to our own emotional baggage, things that may have happened in the past that we've never really moved past. We've kind of shoved it in the back of our emotional closet, and our emotional closet these days is pretty full with what's going on currently, and then you add what you had before that you never really got rid of, and now you've got all this stuff. And the question is, what do we do? How do we move beyond our anger, our frustration, our hurt, our tears, if you will, in such a way where we might be bruised, but we're not totally broken? Today we have with us Dr. Stimbali Malatini, and I hope I have said her name correctly. She is the author of Beyond the Tears, Bruised But Not Broken, and she is truly a Renaissance woman with international style, a native of Zimbabwe. She is a dynamic, motivational, and inspirational speaker, a licensed psychotherapist, a television and radio personality. She is a business career coach and life coach, and she really does want to instill in people hope, which is basically helping other people to excel. She is one of the prestigious John Maxwell Team Leadership Trainers. She's a certified passion test facilitator and a certified speaker trainer with Susan Jeffries. She really does feel that it's okay to feel the fear and do it anyway. I love that, to move past your fears or move with your fear and still get what you want out of life. Her passion is to inspire and motivate and empower teenagers, which is so important because they are our future, and the parents to bridge that communication gap. It's just wonderful to have her, and thank you so much, Dr. Stim, for being with us on What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me today.
Well, you know, let's just get right to it, because I think your philosophy is really beautiful, the idea of doing it with fear anyway, and the idea of that we shall possess whatever it is that we confess. Where did that come from? What is your underlying philosophy in terms of helping people move to that way of thinking?
I think it begins with, you know, my own personal journey. As you said, I'm the author of Beyond the Tears, Bruised But Not Broken. My question to myself has always been, what is it that I need that I don't have that the next person who's successful in life, who's doing well in life, who's joyful in life has that I don't have? And that's when I came up with that, you know what, you will get what you possess, and what you profess, that's exactly what you will get in life. And I help people to not only embrace their past and their life and their journey, but to be able to get over the hump and live beyond that pain and the tears per se.
Well, you know, you have a unique background. You've shared with me before, but share with our listeners what your background is that kind of helped lead you to this philosophy of life.
Yes, I am originally from Zimbabwe. I was born and raised in Zimbabwe. I'm the firstborn of seven children. And, you know, with that, I want to say hello to my parents. My dad is still in Zimbabwe. My mom is here in the USA. And Beyond the Tears was a book that I wrote because in Zimbabwe, polygamy is something that is legal, that is acceptable, that one man can have many wives. So what happened was my mother is the first wife, you know, for my father. And when he decided that he was going to marry a second and third wife, it was something that was a surprise to all of us. But at the same time, I think what happened was, I didn't feel like when adults are going through these relationships and, you know, everything that goes in it, the hurt, the pain, that anybody remembers how it is going to impact the children. So you talk about baggage that, you know, people can carry into their adult life, into their professional life, of what happens to their parents and what happens to you as a child when you're in between all this going on, is probably, you know, what makes me, what gives me the drive to want to make sure that, you know, women, parents, men understand and also remember that the children are watching, and whatever decisions that they make in their relationship is going to affect the children in the long run.
You know, it's interesting because that's a whole nother show, the whole idea of polygamy. I mean, yes. Of course, to someone who's American, that just sounds crazy. But I have watched a couple of television series, that a reality show, I think, was one, and an actual fictional series about polygamy. And I don't know how real to life they are, but I can imagine how that might cause children to struggle with some things in terms of self-esteem, feeling like they're getting enough love from each parent, and just how that all works. So that right there, I could see, could be bruising. So how did you begin to move past that? Whatever those bruises were that you had, what was your first step in your process of moving past it? I know you said that writing the book was very helpful.
Yes, because, you know, and before I even, you know, get there, Lennis, let me just, you know, point out what I wrote was my story of where some of the bruises are, because what happens in life is you have to get to a place where you understand that you're not going where you want to go or where it is that you desire to go to, and there will be certain things that are blocking you that you can't see or touch, and you have to be in that place where you get to look back at your life and take a look at, you know, what could be getting in the way. So the first thing that I had to do was to be kind to myself, and this is one point that I point out in the book, that you have to be kind to yourself. And what do I mean by that is to have patience for yourself, to take a look at yourself without judgment, but to understand that some of the stuff that you're allowed to have in your life, and let's point that out, that you're allowed to have in your life, you know, happened because, one, maybe you didn't know any better. Maybe you didn't have the strength to stop what happened, you know, at that time. So by being kind to yourself, you begin to love yourself and to forgive yourself through what happened.
You know, that's interesting because you would think, well, be kind to yourself. That's such an easy thing to do. Yeah. But the reality is, because I can say this for my own self and the things that I've been through in my life, there's been many times that I have not been kind to myself. And even now, I am probably the hardest on myself than I am anyone else. And I know, especially for women, that's not uncommon.
Yeah. And you know what? Being kind to yourself means to love yourself, right? And when we talk about loving yourself, some people even look at it as being considered and say, you know what? I don't want to look like I'm being considered loving myself. But I think it's something that we really have to embrace, to love ourselves. Loving yourself means, guess what? When I love myself, I know exactly what is good for me and what is not good for me. What do I mean by that? I know the thoughts that make me bitter. I know the actions that make me a bitter person and that also don't serve me. You know, today we're also looking at, you know, I mean, domestic violence and domestic abuse. Loving yourself and being kind to yourself will allow you to see that I'm in a relationship where I'm being hurt or I'm hurting myself and I need to have the strength to leave.
Yes, yes. And that does take strength to make that change, because that means you're walking away from everything you thought you knew. And many times, even when women and men too know that the relationship is unhealthy, it's just really difficult for them to make that change, to be really honest and open with themselves and open to change. And I know that's one of the things that you talk about in your book.
Yes, yes. And being happy, you know, I mean, being kind to yourself means you're allowing yourself to be happy. And a lot of people say, well, you know what, I'm a woman, or I'm a parent, I'm a wife, so my happiness is probably secondary to my husband's or to my family's. No, it's time to say, you know what, I want to choose to be happy, not because everything is perfect or that I'm perfect, but because I deserve it. I deserve to be happy.
You know, that's interesting, because I think that sometimes we don't think in terms of what we deserve. And many times I think we get confused with the idea of what we think we deserve, with making it seem like we must think we're all that. And that's not it at all. In fact, I was going to say, when you're loving yourself, when you learn to love yourself, you learn that you can still love yourself in spite of the fact that you have faults. Loving yourself is not meaning that you're in denial of faults or that you think you're all that. Loving yourself is being aware that you still have things to work on, and that's okay, and that you still love yourself in spite of the things that you have to work on. And I think that that's probably one of the misnomers when people start talking about self. I remember once we had this big controversy going on with some of my friends on Facebook about, what is this self-love, self-care thing on? Mm-hmm. I don't believe that's true. That can't happen. And it was really interesting, because those individuals that were really resistant to that, you could tell that they were resistant to it because they really did not love themselves. They had they're so hard on themselves. And it was kind of like listening to that kind of helped me a little bit to understand where it was that, you know, I needed to grow. And in one particular area that we talked about too, when it came to loving yourself, is forgiving. Learning how to forgive others. And one thing that's really key, at least for me and some of the ladies that were talking that time, is learning how to forgive yourself.
You're right. And it becomes, you know, I had about seven things that I pointed out in the book, Beyond the Tears. Mm-hmm. And actually, the third one was, you know, forgiveness, mm-hmm. being able to forgive yourself and to forgive other people. And, you know, let's point out, you know, this fact that a lot of people forget, that when you forgive someone, it actually is good for you, not for the other person. It doesn't mean that you're freeing the other person. It means you're freeing yourself when you forgive the other person. Mm-hmm. Because now you don't have to carry that resentment, and you don't have to carry this anger, and, you know, you don't have to stress out about what they did and they did me. It's actually an opportunity for you to rewrite your story, the story of your life, when you end that and forgive yourself and forgive the other person. Not that you're justifying what they did as right, but what you're saying is, I will no longer carry this pain, and I will no longer carry this hurt or hate that I have for you. I am letting go, and I'm rewriting my life and creating a whole brand new chapter.
You know, but what are those steps? You hear that a lot, forgiving yourself, letting go, forgiving others. But what are the steps to that? Because it's one thing to say it, but how do we know we've really done it?
You know, I mean, as I said, right, I had to write things down. I'm also a therapist, so I'm a licensed therapist. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I encourage people is to write things down, because what happens is, when you write things down, one, you are taking it out of your head, your mind, and putting it on paper. But when you take a look at it, it now makes sense to you to be able to say, you know what, I have put all this down, and I have carried this for how many years. I have carried this pain, and I have carried this, and how do I let it, you know, go? And the question that you want to ask yourself is it saving me to continue to carry this pain and this anger and this frustration, or is this something that is stopping me from becoming the person that I can be, the happy person that I can be? And I need to free myself. So writing it down is one thing. Talking about it to somebody who you can trust is another thing, because you don't want to talk to people that will bring back, you know, the memories or that story back to you in a probably negative way, or you're reminding you that you still need to talk about it. You want to talk to somebody that will allow you to talk about it in a safe place, but allow you to let it go, and you leave it right there so you can start a brand new person, as I said, a brand new chapter for your life.
You know, that's interesting when you talk about brand new chapters, because sometimes brand new chapters involve maybe letting go of some of the individuals in your life that have you stuck in the box that you're trying to get out of.
Yes, yes. And for most people, what's scary is, if I let this person go, will I find another person, you know, that will be better than them? Or is my life going to be better? I think, you know, this is where we're, you know, with the radio show that I do, you know, right here on America Out Loud, I also talk about, you know what, everything that you ever wanted is beyond your fears. It's when you have the courage to say, I will let this go so that I can embrace the future and the brightness that is, you know, coming before me, because there's always light at the end of the tunnel. There's always dryness and people that can embrace you at the end of your tears when you stop, you know, worrying about what's to happen. Life will continue to happen for you, and good things are in store.
You know, that's interesting because, again, you're talking about, you know, you mentioned the fear factor, which for me was something that I had to learn and that I still work on. In fact, I was telling my listeners a couple of shows ago, I kind of backslid into my whole anxiety paradox and had to let go of that and kind of take myself through my process to remember what it is that I need to do. And one of those things was being fearless, which is interesting because you think, well, that shouldn't be such a tough thing to do. But sometimes you're afraid of the fear. You're afraid of the fear that's going to come. You're afraid of doing the thing that you're afraid to do. You know, it just gets all discombobulated. And I had to keep it simple. You know that old saying, keep it simple, stupid. I had to keep it simple and just say, you know what? I am afraid of this. I'm going to lean into it. I am anxious about it. This is where I'm at. And what's the worst thing that can happen? And I imagined that. And I said, okay, so that's the worst thing that can happen. So go ahead and do it anyway. And while that seems kind of simplistic and crazy, that works for me.
And you're right, Linus, because it's what you tell yourself as well. You know, the thing that has made me even stronger each time and each day as I, you know, am in this profession where I'm a professional speaker as well, and also, you know, on radio and television, is because I have watched other people that do the same things that I want to do, that I am doing now. I have read their books. I have also had coaches that I work with. I continue to have a personal coach right now, as I coach other women as well that are trying to start where I started. And that has helped me, because then as I talk about my fears and I read about their lives and I talk to my coach and she coaches me on how to overcome those fears, you know, I appear as if I'm fearless now, because it's a work in progress. Every time that I have to do something, I feel that fear and I continue to do it anyway. I embrace that fear and say, you know what, I'm afraid, but I'm going to do this, because what I have noticed is each day and each moment, like now we have scheduled this interview, and I could have been so scared and going, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And what am I going to say? But then, you know what I say to myself? That 5 to 6 hour that is scheduled will pass. So what am I going to do with it? Am I going to embrace it and have fun doing this interview? Or am I going to be scared and stand in there and, you know, not say the things that can help one woman out there that can listen to this show and say, you know what, I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do, regardless of, you know, the fear that I'm having, because this 2017, I'm going to challenge myself to make sure that I become a better person, or I do what I've always said I want to do. You've got to challenge yourself, because the only thing that you can do is to be better than the person that you were yesterday.
You know, that's wonderful. And I like the idea of challenging yourself. And, you know, sometimes what I will do to motivate myself to get past the fear is, what positive things are going to happen if I do get past my fear? And, you know, sometimes I think that my fears are all tied up with the fear of success, not just fear of failure, but fear of success. You know, what if I do succeed? Then what? You know, I'm setting the bar. You know, will I be able to reach that again? And all these different kinds of things that we tell ourselves that isn't really positive. And so what, one of the things that I have learned from my coach and from my therapist when I was working on my anxiety was making that determination. Decide, and you talk about that in your book, about being determined to, you know, get past whatever it is you want to get past, and to finally be true to who you are, or work on that journey to who you are.
You're right, because then, you know, once you decide that I am going to be somebody and I'm going to change my life, you know, in a certain way. See, for me, I came to America to get an education. I came in to America to get a training so that I could be a person that can earn enough money, not just to take care of myself, but to be able to take care of people at home. That's my why, because then a lot of people, we get, you know, asked, why do you want to be successful? Why do you want to go to school? And why do you want to do this? My why is bigger than me having, you know, a good place to live and money in the bank. My why is because I have family, extended family, and my immediate family still back in Zimbabwe that look up to me and say, well, she went to America to get an education so she could work and help us out. And how do I do that if I am not striving for more and striving to be the best that I can? That way I'm not just living paycheck to paycheck, but I actually have profits that are coming in from a business. That way I'll be able to send home. So that why, you know, is what gives me sleepless nights. And that's what gets me determined to learn everything that I need to learn in order for me to become the best that I can and earn the most that I can.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our 1 year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our 1 year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, there are thousands of nutrition supplements out there. So how do you choose? Well, I believe you choose by the impact it has on your body. For instance, sleeping better at night, having more energy during the day, less anxieties, and just feeling better overall. After taking Healthy Cell for just 3 weeks, it about changed my life. So much that I asked the company for a special deal for you. Instead of $110 plus shipping, you pay just $79.99 for the monthly plan plus free shipping. Just go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, or click the banner on the homepage of AmericaOutLoud.com. Take it from me, Malcolm Outloud, this is a game changer. HealthyCell.com.
You know, that's interesting about knowing what your why is. And I think sometimes when we get lost along our own journey to being emotionally well and getting, you know, past the bruises that we've had in our emotional life, sometimes reminding ourselves of that why might be the motivation that we need to keep going.
There was a movie, I think it was, Linus, maybe you remember, about, you know, wearing your breeches, you know, get your big girl breeches on and, you know, and move on or something.
Do you remember
that one?
Yes.
I mean, it's almost like at some point we have to say that to ourselves, to say, you know what, why is it that I keep, you know, being in this one place where, you know, I was hurt, or where things didn't work out in my life, or where my parents did this, or where I thought I was going to have this life and it didn't work out that way. Life happened. But then we have to pick up, because at the end of the day, it's our responsibility for each of us. You as a person, it's your responsibility to get up and go. It's your responsibility to find out how you're going to live beyond the pain, even though there's a scar there, even though there are memories there, which are the scars that remind you, how do you get beyond that and overcome that so that, you know what, you can live this best life? I mean, there's so much, you know, to life. There's so much that you can do. But until you decide to live, until you are determined to make it, no matter how painful those scars are, it's going to be difficult and sometimes impossible to go beyond the tears.
You know, it's interesting because I just wrote something to myself that kind of kind of resonates with me when it comes to being determined and also when it comes to, you know, taking some risk. You know, sometimes the solution to whatever your problem is may not always come in the guise that you expect it to. I just had this situation happen the other day when I was basically coaching one of my four daughters. You know, when your daughters become grown, because all my daughters are approaching their 30s or are already over 30, you stop doing the hardcore hands-on parenting and you become basically a coach to your kids. This one has a bill to pay, and I gave her some ideas of what she could do to raise extra money. She says, well, I need, you know, the money right now. And I said, well, you know what? You may need the money right now, but you're not going to get the money right now. So what can you do for building blocks so that you will have it eventually? Rather than say, oh, no, that's not good enough because that's not what I want to do right now. Take a look at what you can do to build towards that solution. Because it could be that whatever it is that you can do to build towards that solution, when you take a look at the big picture, may provide other opportunities in terms of income. Sometimes, as my grandmother used to say, you have to look beyond the tip of your nose.
You're right. And you know what? More applause to you for taking those moments and teaching, because a lot of parents are not even, you know, I mean, finding time to be coaches. They're still in that parenting mode, even for a 20, 30-year-old. And it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But you know what? If I was still in that parenting mode, my kids probably wouldn't even talk to me then, because I was a helicopter parent. So if I was trying to do that in their 30s, they probably would change their phone numbers. So...
And your anxiety would probably be high. And that's another thing that we have to remind the parents out there that are listening to this show as well, because it's a grown folks show, that, you know what, if you continue to be on that parent mode, the person that's going to suffer and struggle is you, because they're going to resist it in every way.
Yes, it is. It's interesting, too, because I guess for some parents, in their way of thinking, that might be kind of risky, you know, stopping to be a helicopter parent and changing your role. But one of the things you talk about in your book again is the need to be experimental and try something different, you know, and Beyond the Tears, Bruised But Not Broken, your memoir, you write about that. What is that like? What motivated you to do that, and how did it feel? And I guess one of the big experiments might have been your relocating to the United States.
Coming to the United States was the biggest risk that I could ever have taken. And thank you for saying that. That's a great question. Because you know what? Once I got here, because, I mean, you know, it's about 21, 22 hours flight to come to the United States. And my philosophy has always been, if I could come that far and adjust to the lifestyle in the United States, being away from my parents at 18 years old, there is nothing that can stop me from becoming who I want to be and taking any risk, you know, I mean, at any time. So I'm not just, stagnant in one place if it's not working for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do as much as I can. So let me tell you about that. It's a plus and a minus. I'm single right now. I don't have any children. So as a result, there is no reason why I could not do what I want to do. So I moved from Boston and moved, you know, to Florida about 3 months ago and just packed everything and moved. Some people might not be in that position where it's just you. You have a family to consider and you have children that you would need to consider. So it might not be as easy. But guess what? If you cannot do the physical move, then do a mental move, because then you can always shift something in your life and move something in your life as a way of risking, taking a risk for yourself. It's stepping out of your comfort zone.
You know, I love that idea about if you can't do the physical move, do the mental move.
That's it.
And I understand that, because, you know, my daughters and I are very, very close. I talk to all of them at least once or twice a day, either by phone, by text, by email, by FaceTime. And since there's four of them, that's a whole lot of time. So I have had to learn to remove myself mentally from time to time. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Doesn't mean I don't care about what's going on in their lives. But one thing you learn as you have adult children, the issues and concerns and challenges and problems that they have are very much like yours, because they're adults now. They've got tax issues, closing on houses, engines that blow in cars, problems with their relationships, problems at the job, whatever. The same kinds of things you have. So if you've got multiple adult children and you're living your life too, that is very stressful. So I had to learn how to remove myself as you say, mentally, to kind of do that emotional, mental move so that I can kind of show up in my life and be
You're
present.
Right.
I had to learn that.
Because you can't do it all sometimes. You're saying now they're adults, and you know what? Adult to adult, we can always say, you know what? Honestly, I don't even have the answers for you right now because my cup is full, mm-hmm. and I'm also going through some stuff. So you know what? I probably won't be the best, you know, help for you right now. And it's okay to say that.
Yes, isn't that interesting? It's okay to say that you can't help right now. And I guess it's okay to say, too, that, you know what? I don't have the answer to that right now.
Yes. Yes. Oh, maybe I don't even have the answer because right now I might have them come back and say, Mom, do you have it now? And you could say, so to just say, I don't think I know that one. I don't have the answer.
And you know what? That's okay. If you don't know the answer to anything that shows up in your life, I think it's really good to be transparent and honest about it because trying to pretend like you do know or trying to rush around and figure out what it might be without just being transparent and saying, you know what? I really don't know. Can cause more emotional unwellness. I know for me, when I'm not transparent like that, it causes me great anxiety. I've learned that one way to manage my anxiety is to be brutally honest and transparent about whatever it is that I'm going through or that's on my plate, and basically just letting folks know what's going on so that I'm not holding that in or trying to figure out how to cover it up and all that other stuff that you do when you're not being transparent and honest with yourself and others.
I mean, sometimes the risk means you telling someone something that you think maybe they might not like me if I say things this way or if I tell them that I don't know or I don't have the answers for you right now. Or you know what? This moment, I really have to take this time for myself because I really need to focus on what I'm doing or what I need for myself right now. That's a risk. And for a lot of us, we're also always concerned about what the other person might feel or, you know, react with what we said. And yet when we do say that, there's always respect on, you know what, at the end of the day, I respect you for being you and I respect you for being honest with me. If you don't get that, at least be respectful of yourself and know that it's okay for them not to understand.
You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about, you know, you gave me these steps here. It was be kind to yourself, be honest,
yes.
Open to change, be forgiving, have unconditional love, be fearless because fear is our biggest enemy, be determined, be experimental and risky, you know, stepping outside our comfort zone. But here is one that's really key, I think, these days, because I think some people are wondering, what the heck do I have to be grateful for? Because things are going crazy in my personal life and even in my life as a whole, what's going on in my country right now is so overwhelming that it feels like, where do I start when it comes to being grateful? But you say that being grateful is important and that change is good.
Change is good. And you know what? When I hear someone saying that, the fact that you have a voice to complain, that you have a voice to even say, what do I do? That's something you need to be grateful for. To wake up each day, you know, even in the midst of the chaos, is a blessing. That's something to be grateful for because you've woken up and you have another opportunity to look at everything that is happening, you know, around you and make a choice. You have a choice. There are certain people around the world that do not have that choice. They don't have, you know, the luxury of waking up in the morning and having a cup of coffee and being able to get to work and being able to get a paycheck after 2 weeks, even if the bills are piling up and you don't have enough money for day to day, you know, to pay your bills and everything. But the fact that 2 weeks or a month, a check is coming in and you can spread that out and pay as much as you can, that's something you can be grateful for. That's something that you can rejoice for.
And you know what else I've learned about being grateful? It really helps me if I am struggling and having problems challenges, you know. And I start thinking about being grateful. I start looking for things. And after a while, I no longer have to look. It just comes to me because my level of awareness is changing. And what I'm focusing on is changing. And that's a good change. To go from thinking about woe is me and listing all the things that are wrong instead of saying, boy, what a blessing. I'm so grateful for it. As one of my coaching clients told me once, nail polish. She just couldn't think of anything to be grateful for, nothing. And so she was being kind of sarcastic. She said, well, I like this new nail polish because it hasn't chipped yet. And I've had it on for a couple of days. I said, that's great. It may be small, but it's a start. Yes. And so she said, okay, write that down. I said, yes, because I wanted her to write down at least three things. And it took her almost the whole session to come up with the three things. And that was the first one. But now, and she's no longer my client, but she stays in touch. She has to put a time limit on her gratitude journal because she could write for pages and pages. And it's not so much that things are just so wonderful all the time in her life. She has just flipped the script in terms of how she wants to encode her life. And she's decided to focus on the things to be grateful for.
You're right, because when we go through day to day, right, the day goes by so fast. I mean, look at us. We are now, you know, this is the 1st of February already. January is gone. And if we look back and not have a gratitude journal, you'll find out that you probably won't even remember what happened in January. So what your journal does for me, a gratitude journal, it reminds me each day to look at the things that I can be grateful for and look for the good things rather than the bad things, because when I'm grateful, I'm not grateful. Grateful, you know, because something bad happened. I'm grateful for what that taught me, you know, what lesson in that bad thing, you know, that I learned from it, or, you know, what opportunities that bad thing that happened, you know, brought to me, and end up being grateful for it. So I like, you know, that about writing what you're grateful for. But every 12 o'clock, at 12 o'clock midday, every day, my alarm on my phone goes off just to remind me to stop for a minute and be grateful for something and look around what I'm grateful for in midday.
I love that idea, Dr. Stem.
Every day.
That's a great idea. Okay, listeners, that's a great idea. This is a Dr. Stem moment right here. Set your alarm to remind yourself to think about, you know, being grateful, whatever time works for you, whatever is good for your body clock or your flow during the day. But I love that idea, and I'm going to set my alarm to do that. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the day that before you know it, it's the end of the day, and then we're working on what we need to do the next day, and we don't take any time to stop and just reflect about the good things that happened that day.
You're right. You're right. I mean, I have coaching clients that I have to remind to breathe, to just take a moment to just breathe. And they say, well, how do I do that? I said, you know what? Maybe your timing that you might have to set up is just to breathe, to just take a moment to breathe. And when you do that, you can find something that you're grateful for. Write it down, say it out loud, and be grateful for something.
I always tell people all the time that we are a nation of non-breathers. We walk around holding our breaths all the time, kind of like bracing ourselves for the next stress, next bad news, next whatever that's not positive to come. When we allow ourselves to breathe, we release a lot of that pent-up frustration and stress. It's interesting because my kids always tell me all the time, Mom, you sigh a lot. And I'm like, you know what? It's my sighing that is the reason why y'all are still here today. Okay?
I had to wring your necks.
I'm telling you, when I had a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old, yes, my breathing was very important, and so were my sighs.
Oh, wow. I like that. Yeah. You're just like my mom. My mom has 7 and all of us are like a year apart. Oh, and I mean, I can only imagine.
My hat is off to your mom. There's no way in the world that I could do more than 4. But you know, they say God never gives you more than what you can handle. And I think that is so true in life in general. And I heard someone poo-pooing that saying, oh, this is too much. I said, well, no, evidently it's not, because you're still here. Yeah. And I have learned to look at my challenges and my problems and my issues of concern to be another opportunity to get stronger and to learn something and to be better. Instead of it being what defines me in terms of how bad I am and all the things I need to work on and why did that happen and all that other kind of stuff that's just not adding any value.
You're right. And you know what? I'm just reminded, you know, talking about my mom, she's a praying woman. And that's one thing that got her through raising seven, you know, little ones running around. And the reason why I titled my book Beyond the Tears, Bruised But Not Broken, it was also my way of giving back and being grateful for what she went through raising us and what she had to let go, her own happiness, her own peace of mind and staying in a marriage where, you know, I mean, she wasn't loved anymore. You know, there were other, you know, women that came into the family, but she hung on in there for the sake of the children, just like most parents will do. I'm staying for my children. Mm-hmm. But my mom used to pray with us. And I remember being in the house when we come back from school and she's crying because we don't have food in the house. And, mm-hmm. you know, she's sick. And then she would say one thing that she repeated all the time in her prayers. She said, "Lord, make my tears be a blessing to my children. So for every tear that I'm dropping, please bring it back as a blessing to my children."
I love that idea. That's such a positive way and constructive way to look at our tears and those emotions that people normally either push away or hide from others and don't let them see, you know, what they're feeling. And, you know, I know you work with teenagers and with parents. How does your philosophy apply to them? How do you begin to share with them these philosophies so they can apply them to their life?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, I'm very passionate about the parents, you know, taking time for themselves and not forgetting that at the end of the day, they are not parents and, you know, everything revolves around being a parent and not living their own lives and remembering that they need to take care of themselves. Because one thing that, you know, I noticed my mother doing was she gave everything that she had in the marriage and her children and didn't have time to love Ida, to love who she was and to say to herself, you know what, I don't want to stay in this kind of situation because I'm not happy and my children are not happy. So as a result, of course, you know, when you're in a place where you don't feel love, you're hurt, you're painful, you're always crying and you're very sensitive and you're very scared. So that's not good when instilling, you know, self-esteem in your children, because then we were always timid and afraid that maybe, you know, we're not supposed to do this because it's not the right thing, because we took from her of, you know, the things that she couldn't do because she was afraid, you know, and she had fear. So the thing that I do is to help the parents to bridge the gap. I call it the bridging the gap between them and their teenagers. So the parent can always find themselves and also separate the way that they parent from the way that they were parented, so that they can conform to what this teenager needs today and what is surrounding, you know, the teenagers that could affect their way of parenting.
You know, and that's wonderful, too, because another thing I know you help when you're working with teenagers and parents also is kind of freeing their souls up, helping them to free their souls up, to dream bigger dreams and to do more and to become more. And, you know, it's interesting because the folks that are listening now that might be older, they might think, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm almost 60. It's too late for me. But is it ever really too late?
No, it's never too late. It's never too late. I also say life is very short and we have three choices in life. You either give up, give in, or give it your all. And that means from the day that you say dada, mama, you have those three choices to the day that we put you 6 feet down and it's time for you to depart this world. That means you could be 60, 80, you still have those two choices. Are you going to give up because now you're 60 years? Are you going to give in and say, you know what, there's nothing else that I can do because, you know, I'm old now and I don't have the brains, or I don't have the time, I don't have the money? Or are you going to give it your all and say, regardless of my age, my financial, you know, status right now, my environment that I am in right now, I am going to do the best that I can to live the best life that I can ever, you know, do. Because it's all up to you. You are the author of that life that you have. You have a book that you're writing. So it's up to you to write you know, the best chapters that you can, or to develop a movie of your life and you're the director. What are you creating on a day-to-day basis? Are you going to give it your all, give up, or give in?
I love that. I love that idea of give up, give in, or give it your all. And you know what? I have had a very good example of that in my life. My father's 85 years old, and at the age of 70, wow, he decided that he was going to be sober. Now, he hadn't been diagnosed as an alcoholic, and I never thought of him as one, but he was a middle-aged adult, you know, in his early 40s, I guess, during the 60s and 70s. When, you know, people had wet bars in their offices and they would come home and have cocktail parties and, you know, you had a drink a day or more. And he decided he just didn't want to be like that anymore. And he stopped drinking and goes to Alcoholics Anonymous every day and has been for the last 15 years. And we were like, Dad, you're not an alcoholic. He said, you know what? I think that I was, because for years I had that vodka and tonic. I would drink 1 to 2 vodka and tonics every single day when I got off of work, and I'd have one at lunch, and that was part of the culture. He says, but now I don't want to do that anymore, and I just want to be sober, so I'm going to change my life. And so he did. He stopped drinking. He doesn't even drink wine anymore. I mean, it was amazing to me at the age of 70. But, you know, from an emotional wellness standpoint, because that was important to him, I'm sure that added years to his life, not to mention from a physical standpoint, because, you know, those things are intertwined. You know, what you do with your body helps your mind, and what you do with your mind helps your body. And at 85, my dad is just as engaged as he was at 65. It just blows my mind. And I have to attribute it to his determination to decide to make a change in his life and to not adapt that idea that he was too old, that it was too late.
And they never lied. Remember when they said, in the end, we only regret the changes that we didn't take? So for him, you know, I mean, more applause to him, because then guess what? Once he made up his mind that this is the thing that I'm going to do, it didn't matter how old he was going to do it, and he would feel and act like he's still young, but he did it. And that's encouraging.
And that should be empowering to everybody. I mean, 85 years old and made a decision at 70. Well, at 80, he made a decision that he was going to write his memoirs. At 83, he made a commitment that he wanted to really establish a really good relationship with all of his great-grandchildren, you know, who are now ages 11, 2, and 1. But he does. Once a week, he drives to where they are and spends time with them, you know, just hanging out, you know, so they'll know who he is, so they'll remember who he is. So it's never too late to decide that you want to take those steps that, you know, that you talk about, Dr. Stem.
You're right. So then the question to the audience and all those that are listening is, what area in your life are you playing it safe? What would happen if you were not afraid? Why are you not living the life that you dream of? And what is holding you back? You know, I mean, what habits, what pain, what fears are hurting you or blocking you from living a confident, fearless life?
And I love that idea, because it's important to answer those questions. And, you know, generally I know for me, when I ask questions like that, almost immediately, intuitively, the answers pop up. And then the other side of me is like, no, that's not it. But you know what? Yes, it is. That is it. That first thing that comes into your spirit, that comes to your mind, that is it. And, you know, as Dr. Stem says, write it down. Write it down. Those first impetus are very powerful.
You're right, because you know what? We don't want to live a life of, you know, of regrets. And as I said, you know what? The pain that we go through, the tears that we shed, is what makes us stronger. It makes us braver. It makes us the people that will have the courage to make the choices to say enough is enough, and I'm going to change.
And I love that. And thank you, Dr. Stem, for sharing all this valuable information. But not just that, but sharing parts of your life with us and your philosophy of things that we need to do to begin to get beyond that bruised hurt and pain that we've had, and to thrive past that, to get beyond that. And everyone, Dr. Stem, her information is there on the show page. But for those who are listening to the audio version of our show, please share with us where they can find out more about you and where they can get your books.
Okay. All the books are on Amazon.com. And if you go on Amazon and just put in Dr. Stem, D-R-S-T-E-M books, you'll be able to see all the 24 books that I've written. My website is www.drstemspeaks.com. And you can also email me at drstem14@gmail.com. That's drstem14@gmail.com.
And most importantly, that you can listen to her show on the America Out Loud Network. And what is the name of your show?
How could I forget that one? It's called the Doctor. It's called the Dr. Stem Show. And guess what? This is where we empower, encourage, and motivate you so that you can live beyond your tears and have the courage to move on and live the best life that you can.
And listeners, I have listened to her shows, and they're really wonderful. They're very uplifting. They're inspirational. They're motivating, and they also give you that meat. Or for you vegetarians out there, those vegetables that you need, those veggies that you need to really thrive in your life. You know, sometimes we need, you know how that the video game Pac-Man, sometimes you just need to get that little energizer thing icon on the Pac-Man. It energizes the Pac-Man to go on to the next station. Sometimes we need that. We need to hear those little nuggets to say, yes. Yeah. You know, and that's how Dr. Stem's show is. Her show is definitely a yes show. So please visit the Dr. Stem show on America Out Loud Radio. Google Dr. Stem, America Out Loud Radio, and her show will pop up. Thank you so much for being on What's Inside You. It's been wonderful to have you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, all you listeners out there. I've so enjoyed hearing from you. I'm beginning to get emails from all of you. So please send me more emails. Let me know about the shows that you enjoyed. Let me know about the topics that you'd like to hear about, and maybe even some guests that you'd like to hear on the show. It's Linus at America Out Loud. And for those of you who want to know more about me and what it is I do, go to my website at praiseworks.biz, praiseworks.biz, or you can just Google me, Linus Woods Mullins. Just Google me and you'll find out all about me and the different services that I provide. I'm so glad that you were here today. This is Linus, and I am a holistic living and wellness expert, and you've been listening to What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy. We'll see you again next time.